Mr. President, without objection, Senate will go the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from Webster. Senator from Webster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee on Physical Oversight has a report.
Senate report forward. Madam Secretary, read report. And Sergeant Arms, we're going to need the Senator from Green for the next report, if you can find him.
Did you say read the report?
Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Physical Oversight, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute Number 2 for House Committee Substitute for House Bills 302 and 228, as amended, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Bill 209 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Committee Substitute for House Bill 303, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 334 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred House Bill 571 with Senate Committee Substitute, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Cunningham, Chairman.
Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Judiciary has a report as well.
Senator, report forward. Madam Secretary, read your
Mr. President, your Committee on Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, to which was referred House Committee Bill 1, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Dixon, Chairman.
Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, for the benefit of the body, Casey Nolan from KSDK-TV has been granted permission to take photos and videos in the chamber today.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please recognize the Senator from Franklin County for a privileged motion on Senate Bill 225.
Thank you, Mr.
Senator McCole, you want to take us the order of business of House bills on third reading?
I'm sorry, Mr. President. We should send it go to the order of business of House bills on third reading.
And recognize who, Senator McCole?
Thank you, Mr. President. If there are no objections, would you please recognize Senator from Franklin County on Senate Bill 225 for a privileged motion?
The order of business will be third reading of House bills. Senator from Buchanan, what reason do you rise?
Just said that the order of business would be third reading of House bills.
Was that the
and then you asked to recognize the senator from Franklin on Senate Bill 225.
Thanks for your clarification. We are. Senator from Cole, what order of business are we on? Is it Senate bills? Senate bill for what?
Mr. President, we were on House bills on third reading, but the motion I made for the Senator from Franklin was a privilege action, which does not necessarily need to be on a calendar, is the what I'm understanding. So I might have mistaken.
Action.
Thanks. Thank you.
So we are on a privileged motion, Senator from Franklin, Senate Bill 225.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privileged motion.
State your privilege motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Conference Committee report on Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 225 be taken up for adoption.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Franklin. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe that some time ago, on your desk, if you could find the conference committee spreadsheet, it has been distributed. It's probably buried deeply on the desk. I believe I have. Oh, that's the wrong one. Yes. I do have the finally have the spreadsheet. It was passed out. This is the original bill for that was sent to the House. Obviously, it was a consent bill that came back with multiple things on it, dealing with articulating buses. So that was the original piece of the bill. And in the House Committee substitute, it was placed the federal mandate language is in this bill. We also have the auto cycle language in here that allows auto cycles to be considered not considered to be motorcycles. The bendy bus, obviously the articulating bus language. It also has the commercial zones in this, and then some House floor amendments were added that added the National Guard vehicles list to emergency vehicles. It also added the public parking for Distinguished Service Cross, Air Force Cross, and Coast Guard Cross recipients was added in the House. There was a provision that Senate Bill 355 from the Senator from St. Francis that dealt with signs for two-year colleges was added. It also closed the loophole on ignition interlock exemptions, same as Senate Bill 474 filed at MoDOT's request, another federal mandate. And then it also dealt with the assessed valuation of tractor trailers and the Senator from Christian, Senate Bill 311. So that is what was in the conference committee report that was approved. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Senator from Franklin, will you move for the adoption?
I move for the adoption.
The Senator from Franklin has moved for the adoption of the conference committee report for House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 225. Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none. Senator from Franklin, you recognize close.
I close.
The Senator from Franklin moves that the conference committee report on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 225 be adopted. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the second. Senator from the second votes aye. Senator from Barton. Senator from Barton votes aye. By your vote of 32 ayes, 0 no, the conference committee report is adopted. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Committee Substitute, or Congress Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 225 be third read and finally passed.
You've heard the motion made by the senator from Franklin. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Franklin, you recognize to close.
I close.
The senator from Franklin moves the Conference Committee report for House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 225 be read a third time and finally passed. Those are the opinion that motion shall prevail. We'll vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Conference Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 225, an act relating to transportation. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan,
Senator from Butler. Senator from Butler, how would you care to vote?
I'm going to vote aye, but may I address the dais, please.
By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, the Conference Committee report for House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 225 is third read and passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Butler.
Hey, Mr. President, I was just curious why we got this.
Senator from Butler, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire you, Mr. President.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was just curious why the conference committee substitute was delivered so late in the middle of the roll call. Just summary, excuse me. Let's not delay it, Mr. President.
Summary. My understanding was that the bill had been distributed previously, but the summary was distributed at the time that you mentioned. But the bill itself had been distributed previously.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire of the Secretary if there are messages in the House? If so, I'd ask them to please be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute, House Bill 93. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 95 as amended and request the Senate to take up and pass House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 95 as amended. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please recognize the senator from Berry County for a privileged motion on Senate Bill 95?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Berry, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privileged motion.
State your privileged motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate refuse to concur in House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 95 with House Amendment 1, 2, and 3. And request the House to recede from its position, or failing to do so, grant the Senate a conference thereon.
The Senator from Berry moves that the Senate. This one? Was it recede or concur? The Senate refused to concur and request the House recede from its position, failing to do so, grant the Senate conference thereon. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Barry, you recognize. Close.
I close.
You've heard the motion made by the senator from Barry. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
Tucker.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please recognize the senator from Franklin County for a privileged motion on Senate Bill 112.
Senator from Franklin, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate grant the House further conference on House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 112.
The Senator from Franklin is moving that the House grant the Senate further conference on Senate Bill 112.
That's correct.
Does any senator desire to be heard on the motion? Senator from Barton, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from Franklin.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield to an inquiry to Senator from Barton?
I do.
You may proceed.
Thanks, Senator. Just quickly, can you just briefly say what we're reconferencing on?
There was some corrections made to the conference committee report that obviously we made and had to go back and reacquire some signatures on that. The senator from 7th and the senator from the 8th had some language that was mistakenly left out that they wanted to put in, and so we had to go back to that and put them in the conference committee report.
Nothing new. It's just something that got missed.
It's just something, yes, sure. That was overlooked.
Thank you, Senator. Yep. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Butler, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from Franklin.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from Butler?
I do.
You may proceed.
I just need to go through a couple things really quick.
Okay.
The county average wage, I see that as long as it's not above the statewide average in your language here.
Are you looking at the report on 112? Is 112?
Yep. On page 7.
Senator, okay. I've got a report in front of me. What page?
Page 7.
Yes. This has to do with the AIM zone, and obviously they're putting in there. I think this is the representative from Jefferson. I believe this deals with ports and the county average wage.
Okay. I noticed on page 8 we have port language in here.
Yeah, this deals with ports. This is the AIM zone language that was put in here. Again, this dealt with...
So they established an AIM zone, is that correct?
Yeah, yes, and it says an area identified through a resolution passed by the Port Authority.
Okay.
So for redeveloped or the purpose of infrastructure. And again, it's talking about the county average wage.
Yep.
So...
Also talk about county commissioners, I guess, on their terms. I'm on page 41. Just let me look at it just real quick here. We just got it.
Senator, probably when we're only making a motion to go grant further conference,
okay.
And I will go into detail when we bring, if we get the bill back up, and I'll bring you into detail as
okay.
to all the stuff.
That'd be fine.
That's in it.
I don't think I'm going to have a problem with it. I just want to make sure I have a very quick glance on it.
All right. Yeah, I don't have my spreadsheet in front of me. I'm not prepared.
Right.
I wasn't
okay.
prepared to go through it, but that's
fine. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thanks.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Franklin, you recognize the close.
I close.
You've heard the motion made by the senator from Franklin. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please recognize the senator from Lewis County for a privileged motion on Senate Bill 8?
Senator from Lewis, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privileged motion.
State your privileged motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the conference committee report on Senate Bill 8 be taken up for adoption.
You've heard the motion made by the senator from Lewis. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. This Senate Bill 8 was actually a bill, the consent bill that was sent to the House, like many of them we've talked about today. What it dealt with was flashing lights used by motor vehicles and equipment. The title was changed to transportation. I could go through what we struck out of it. We struck out a section relating to headgear for motorcycles, but kept the auto cycles. Substitutes the language that I exceeded the difference for in House Bill 542, so we didn't get a pink slip. It struck out House Amendment 6 relating to drainage penalty for public roads. It struck House Amendment 7, which actually set up a 3-year registration for trucks over 54,000 pounds. And it struck out House Amendment 1 to House Amendment 9 relating to peace disturbance immunity for farming activities. We also struck out relating to the use of sales tax by political subdivisions, and we established a statewide definition of a passenger car. We struck that out also, and we reorganized the lighting language in my bill and the move-over language. What we have in this bill now is agriculture machinery and implements may be operated on state highways between sunset and sunrise. Another section that deals with utility vehicles for the move-over law. Another section that actually relates to the Federal FAST Act, which was in a bill that we just heard. It also defines the articulated bus, which I think was in the last bill that we heard. It also talks about local log truck permits, where they can purchase an extra permit for inclement weather when they can't be in the timber. They could be hauling their own products to keep those employees busy. It also has a section that deals with utility vehicles covered under the move-over law, another section there, and lighting that I believe the senator from Callaway had in a bill earlier. It also has a section that deals with the new technological improvements allowing the collection of fuel tax on propane sold to propel motor vehicles, and the other section, which was the base bill. The other section specifies that commercial motor vehicle operation on designated routes in accordance with municipal ordinance shall not be deemed a nuisance or evidence of a nuisance. With that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
You've heard the motion made by the senator from Lewis. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 14th, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to inquire of the senator from the 18th.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the 14th?
Sure do.
You may proceed.
Senator, yep. I have some really good news.
Good.
I have very, very good news.
We like to hear that around here.
And it came from someone who is in your district, who lives in your district, and I just got a message on my Facebook. Do you want to know what it says?
Sure. If it's good news, okay. You bet.
So there is a speech where Secretary Pruitt was speaking, and the question was raised, what are the issues that you want to deal with? And this is not in the state of Missouri. This is somewhere else. And he mentioned that it was such a shame. It has been such a shame that the EPA has not paid any attention to the uranium waste that's in the Westlake landfill. And he said tonight, in the last 30 minutes, that it is his priority to deal with the radioactive waste that is in the Westlake landfill. So I am happy.
Hallelujah.
And it came from your constituent.
And probably somehow the word from you got up there.
I don't know, but I'm sure going to be pushing them.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th, for what reasons do you rise?
Require the Senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, yield an inquiry to the Senator from the 7th.
I certainly do.
You may proceed.
Senator, I just want to ask about a few things in this bill. First off, I heard you said that for motorcycles, headgear, does that mean that the motorcycle helmet repeal is
That's not right in here? The repeal was taken out of this bill.
Well, do we know where that is otherwise? Is there a helmet repeal anywhere?
I do not know.
How come it was taken out of this bill?
Because I think there would have taken a lot of time on the floor. I do know we heard it in committee.
Right. Okay. All right. I just thought we were for freedom around here.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the move over portion? Earlier in the session, I remember seeing an amendment that dealt with garbage trucks. Were garbage trucks a part of the? I know you said utility vehicles, but were garbage trucks added in there? Because you know these garbage trucks are on the city streets and they're in their workers are hopping on and off the truck and picking up the trash cans and dumping them in. And I remember seeing that earlier, and I don't know if it made it in here or not.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, municipal solid waste might have been municipal solid waste trucks or garbage trucks.
My notes say it's 70, page 77.
You got to love these consent bills that turn into 100-page omnibus
Don't
bills.
Don't you, though? That, on page 77, is restricted to utility workers.
I see Mrs. Leibel up in the auditorium or in the upper gallery. Glad she's here watching the proceedings. We can't do introduction of special guests, but if we could, we'd say hi to Mrs. Leibel. But we can't.
I'm looking to 75 also. My notes tell me there's another section on page 75. I'll look that up real quick.
Okay.
That's true. No, it's 78 pages.
That's right. The senator from the 1st needed to run down to the house and back, so we're going to give him just a second.
No, I don't see anything about garbage trucks in this one.
Okay. Well, that might be something next year that we take a look at, because I think that while we're asking our motor vehicles to move over for folks who are working on the streets,
yeah.
I support utility vehicles, but I also think municipal solid waste and garbage trucks should probably also get some courtesy.
They do have to stop sometimes on curves, corners.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, but what was the original bill here? What was the underlying legislation?
Well, like I said in my when I get said that. Okay, yeah. MoDOT last year in a bill that we had didn't specify that they could have their white and amber lights while they were moving through a construction zone. Didn't specify that. So this actually, it was a consent bill sent over there for MoDOT to straighten that issue out, to clarify it, I'll say.
And so now the bill says that you cannot have them.
No, they can have them on when their vehicles are moving.
Okay, so previously they could not have them on, or it was unclear.
It was unclear.
Now we're saying that they can have them on.
They can have them on, the white and amber lights.
Okay, I appreciate that. I think I'm going to inquire of the senator from the 4th for just a minute, and then we'll move on. Mr. President?
Senator from the 7th.
Inquire of the senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the 7th?
I do.
You may proceed.
Senator, how are you?
I'm doing good. I think, another 2 or 3 minutes, and then the senator from the 1st is going to have to appear or not.
Senator, you look like you're struggling a little bit there. I thought maybe we could have a conversation.
Thanks.
You know, you were talking about the motorcycle helmet repeal.
Yeah.
I thought maybe since we aren't having the conversation because it's not in the bill, if you wanted to discuss that, I'm probably on the opposite side.
You're on the opposite side.
I don't know. Let's find out where we are.
Okay. Well, the bill that I've sponsored in the past and support requires that a motorcyclist have private insurance.
Yep, we're on the other side.
So you don't...
I'm just teasing. Come on, Senator.
Well,
So it's a simple question. Do you believe in freedom or not?
Well, you've only gotten to the insurance portion, Senator.
Well, you have to have education, motorcycle class,
okay,
insurance. And then in my original bill that I wrote a couple years ago, I had a endorsement on your license plate that would say, you know, HF, helmet free. So if an officer pulled up behind you and you weren't wearing your helmet, but your license plate had a, you know, a sticker on it that said HF, they would know that you had private insurance and you had taken your motorcycle courses.
What would happen with out-of-state drivers coming through?
We talked about that. I mean, that's why, you know, out-of-state riders wouldn't be on any state healthcare provider system. So you're not going to, yeah. The whole point is to protect the state from the liability of that risky activity. And if you're an out-of-state rider and you have a helmet law repeal, then if they were to get in an accident, then either they have insurance or they don't, but it's not going to be through the state of Missouri. It's going to be through their home state of residence.
Okay.
Now, I want to say for the record that, you know, I've ridden all over the country in my Harley-Davidson, and I have never, not one time, ever not worn a helmet. Even when I'm in states where you don't have to wear a helmet, those who don't wear helmets, I think, probably ought to wear helmets all the time because there's something wrong with you. But I also think that if you don't want to, you should have the right to not.
Okay, so let's go down that path just for a second. So how do you feel about seatbelts in cars? Do you think you should have to wear a seatbelt?
Well, I'm not for a primary seatbelt law.
That's not the question.
Well,
people should have the freedom to wear or not wear a seatbelt in a car? Isn't that the same thing?
You know, I'm not a tremendous fan of government mandates.
Okay, that's fair, and I appreciate that.
I'm really not. I mean, I think that wearing your seatbelt is a good idea, and again, I wear it. I think a lot of that has to do with family education, you know, raising your children in a way where they understand that these behaviors are going to lead to a safer condition for their activities. And I think that that's where you teach them, and if you teach them well, then they're going to follow and model that behavior that you provide.
Sure.
So I'm not sure that the long arm of government needs to be creating penalties or mandates that make you do that. Now, am I going to stand up and rail against the fact that we have a seatbelt law in the state? No.
Of course not.
I'm not going to try to repeal it.
Sure.
You know.
Well, let me, I want to point out something that I found kind of funny. So one of the groups that were testifying for repeal of the helmet law also came a different day to testify in support of a ban on texting and while driving because it was dangerous.
Distracted driving?
Yes. I found that to be, I want to search for the right word here. I know the senator from Barden's laughing.
If you want to know.
I found that to be a little odd. Let's just call it odd. And it was a little bit in conflict. So, I heard a lot about freedom when we were talking about the helmet repeal, and then a week later, it was okay for a ban on texting
and driving. Can I tell you why, in my mind, those two things are different?
Sure.
Have you ever read the book On Liberty by John Stuart Mill? When you took Western Civ in college, did you ever come by that book?
I don't believe so.
Well, I encourage everyone who wants to be in public service to read.
They didn't have that at the joint apprenticeship school at the Electrical Industry Training Center.
Well, they got it at your local library. And I encourage everyone to read the book On Liberty by John Stuart Mill.
Okay.
And he essentially sets up a basic logical premise that you have self-regarding activity and you have other-regarding activity. All right, and these are the two ways that we interact with each other. Self-regarding activity should not be legislated because inherently it's a moral sensibility. So my morals are going to be the guide for my own behavior as long as it's self-regarding, meaning that I'm the only one being affected by that behavior.
But isn't that an argument that we have on so many things throughout the legislature, is that we all have a different sense of what is and what is not morally right?
Well, as long as it's self-regarding...
I'm just, you know what,
you
I just want
not,
to point out, I'm really glad we're having this conversation.
Hold on. As long as it's self-regarding, then you should not legislate your morals onto me. Now, as soon as it becomes other-regarding, which means that my activity is infringing on your freedom or your space, then that can be legislated. And I'll give you a perfect example. So you can consume a beverage that is intoxicating in your own home until you pass out yourself. And that's self-regarding activity. No one's going to be hurt by that. But the second you get behind a wheel and you are in the public sphere, that becomes other regarding, because now you're endangering others, and that can be legislated. So while I am against laws that would prohibit self-consumption, I am for regulating DUI laws and things like that that would be other guarding. So in your example, me not wearing a helmet, if I wreck my car, the only person that's going to be hurt is me.
That is wrong, Senator. That is absolutely wrong.
On a motorcycle?
Yes, because the amount of money that it costs to take care of someone with a brain injury dwarfs everything that is in any insurance company, any policy that we are providing. Even if you have private insurance, it's up to a certain dollar. But that's not everybody. And the law that was proposed didn't cover enough for all of that.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars to take care of someone that has a brain injury for the rest of their life. So, I mean, I just...
Texting and driving would be other regarding, though. Because now I'm taking your life into my hands, literally, when I'm texting and driving.
I would agree with that.
Which is the difference between what I would say freedom be implied to self-regarding activity versus other regarding activity. So I think that we could get to a place where we'd understand each other. So my answer to you would be, let's up the insurance requirements if you want to ride without a helmet. I don't think that's, you know...
So let me ask you this. Let's say that you are a... you're a single adult. You make, I don't know, $40,000 a year. You have insurance that covers this. We pass this law. You have a traumatic brain injury. Let's say you're 40 years old. Your insurance covers you for the care, surgeries, and things going to happen. Eventually, if you have no other family, you're going to become a ward of the state, are you not? And then who's paying for that care?
Well,
is that insurance company going to pay in perpetuity until you die?
Do you know how much the policy was covering in the original bill?
I want to say it was $1 million.
$1 million?
I can't recall.
Well, you know what? I'm looking forward, if we have this debate when it really matters. This is like preseason, right? Preseason discussion on the helmet law.
You think this is probably why it's not in the bill, Senator?
I think that I think the senator from Lewis
made a very wise decision.
All right, that's fair.
It hasn't helped yet.
Political expediency is fair, but next February, when we're not 20 hours out from being done, maybe we can have a little longer discussion on this.
How do you think the senator from the first is doing right about now?
I think he's back.
I think he's back.
We've given him enough cover. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does the senator desire to be heard? Senator from Butler.
Thank you, Mr. President. To quote the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, you yield the number of the senator from Butler.
I do.
You may proceed.
Okay, you're on the 4th floor, is that correct?
I'm on the what?
4th floor.
4th floor,
you're correct. On the 4th floor.
Yes.
Facing a river.
Yes.
Okay. Now, in the morning, I'm going to come in, unless it's raining really hard, on my Harley.
All right.
And I want you to listen really closely, because you're going to be jealous.
I'm always jealous.
I'm going to rev it up twice.
I'm always
And when you
jealous.
Hear it, it's going to be just for you.
Are you going to wear your helmet?
I will be wearing my helmet.
All right. Well.
Although I feel pretty much the same way you do on that stuff. Right. He won't be up. Well, anyway, I think he will be up that early. Wherever he's at, I may come by.
All right. I'll look forward to it.
Be sure and listen.
I will listen.
Okay. You know who it is.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none. Senator from Lewis, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, I want to thank the committee for working through all the issues with that bill. Also want to thank the senator from Buchanan for working with the representative to get some issues hopefully laid aside next year. And I close.
The senator from Lewis moves that the Commerce Committee report on Senate Bill 8 be adopted. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Madam Secretary, please ring the bell. Call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sipton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the ninth. Senator from the ninth votes aye. Senator from St. Francis. Senator from St. Francis votes aye. Senator from Webster. Senator from Webster votes aye. Senator from the fifth votes aye. Senator from Green. Senator from Green. Senator from Green votes aye. By a vote of 29 aye and 4 no, the conference committee report has been adopted. Senator Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 8 be read a third time and finally passed. And I might remind everybody there's an emergency clause.
You've heard the motion made by the senator from Lewis. Does any senator desire to be heard?
I agree.
Seeing none. Senator Lewis, you're recognized. Close. The Senator from Lewis moves its conference committee report, Senate Bill 8, be read a third time and finally passed. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Conference committee substitute for Senate Bill number 8, an act relating to transportation with existing penalty provisions and an emergency clause for certain sections. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
By a vote of 29 aye and 4 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Senator from Lewis, you are recognized for the adoption of the emergency clause.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the emergency clause.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the 8th. You are not recorded. Senator from the 8th votes no. 23. By a vote of 28 aye and 3 no, the emergency clause has been adopted. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please recognize the senator from Webster County for a privileged motion on Senate Bill number 35.
Senator from Webster, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privileged motion.
State your privileged motion.
I move that the conference committee report on House Committee substitute for Senate substitute for Senate Bill 35 as amended be taken up for adoption.
You heard the motion made by the senator from Webster. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Webster, do you care to move for the adoption? Explain your conference report.
I do move for the adoption, and the report left here clean, no amendments, whatever. We sent it over to the House. They did add, a House committee substitute did add some language in there to give the Department of Natural Resources and OA a little bit more flexibility. Said you can spend up to $250,000 without Senate approval, legislative approval, and also that it could be up to 80 acres, and that was in the House committee substitute. On the floor of the House, they then turned around and put an amendment in there for the city or senator from the 11th that allowed for a land transfer in Jefferson, in Kansas City. That, I think, is in Independence. That turned out not to be needed, so the House, the senator from the 11th says, okay, take that out, save us, not change in the title, and that's where the bill stands right now. Be glad to answer any questions.
The senator from Webster moved for the adoption of Conference Committee Report for House Committee Substitute for Senate, Substitute for Senate Bill 35 as amended. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the first, for what reason do you rise?
Inquire of the senator from Webster.
Senator from Webster to yield to an inquiry of the senator from the first. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. So I was on the conference committee.
You were.
And I believe I am the lone conference committee member whose signature does not appear on the conference report. So we had a House amendment that was stripped off. That part's easy. But there are other differences between the original Senate bill that this body took up and the House committee substitute that went to the House floor before House Amendment 1 was added on, correct?
Correct.
And I just want to take some time to go through what those differences are. By the time we got as far as conference committee, I think it's fair to say the decision had been made to simply strip off the amendment and go with the House committee substitute rather than the Senate version. So when members of the body had this bill last, and let me back up and say, in my view, the meat of the bill is the notion that, at least when it first came to the Senate, that the commissioner of administration, you want to buy land, you got to tell people. Is that basically the idea here?
Yes. Let the people know what you're doing.
Right. So when this bill was last on the Senate floor, we were talking about the Commissioner of Administration, OA purchases, correct? Now the House has added, I'm looking at the perfected Senate version as opposed to the committee report, which mirrors the House committee substitute. The House added to OA the Department of Natural Resources, or did it simply add DNR property to what the bill includes, or was DNR in there before? It's just addressed differently now.
Take that again, Senator.
Did the House simply add DNR to this?
Did the House what? I'm sorry, I'm still.
All right. So the original Senate bill says that when the Commissioner of Administration purchases land on behalf of any department, that department shall provide public notice on its website and in a newspaper, and hold a public hearing. That's what your bill said when it was in the
Senate. That is correct.
The House got a hold of it.
Yes.
And made some changes.
Yes, and on our recommendation.
What's that?
On our recommendation.
We found
out that some of the purchases could be made with DNR without the Office of Administration doing it.
Right.
So we added that to where they had to do that also, and then we gave them some flexibility in doing so.
Got it. So in other words, when this bill was last in the Senate, it was OA. You thought it included DNR purchases at the time. You subsequently learned that there were DNR purchases that were not within the ambit of what the bill did originally that the House added.
That's my understanding.
Okay. So, I mean, as I see it, the original Senate version talks about Commissioner of Administration on behalf of any department of the state that will be owned and managed by such department. And so is the concern that DNR is buying land that it's not going to own or manage? How is it that all DNR purchases wouldn't have been encapsulated within the bill to begin with?
For some reason, they don't have to go through the Office of Administration, I'm told, on certain purchases. And like right now, there's, I think, 5 acres, something over next to Elephant Rock that
right.
they need to purchase for a well and for additional water.
Okay.
And so they could do stuff like that on their own. But we wanted to limit that, so we put a $250,000 limit and an 80-acre tract of land.
And that's what the House made that change,
yes.
right? So there's a – right. So in other words, these notice provisions that I know you've been talking about for a couple of years now.
Right.
These notice provisions would only apply if we're talking about more than 60 acres.
Yes.
And we're only talking about purchases.
Yes, and okay. $250,000.
Sure. So
max.
Got it. So if it's less than 60 acres but more than $250,000, we go through the notice.
If you go through the notice.
If it is less than $250,000 but more than 60 acres, we go through notice. If right?
Right.
If it is below 250 and below 60, this bill would not have any effect.
Right.
So smaller purchases can be made relatively easily.
Yes, and we want to keep it easy for them.
So let me go back. 11 Point State Park is in your district, or at least.
Oregon County, yes.
Yes. And I know that, I mean, I don't think it's any secret that when that acquisition was made in connection with the ASARCO proceedings, it's fair to say that was pretty controversial in your district.
It was very controversial, and actually there was 3 or 4 purchases there. I think Echo Bluff was pretty controversial. We knew nothing about it. The people in the area knew nothing about it in Carter County. Shannon County. Yeah, Shannon knew nothing about it. And there were several of those. There's one that went down in Douglas County, and I think that maybe they were a little bit more aware of it in Douglas County. And then before the previous administration left, I think they made... well, that was the Douglas County and several others.
So, all right. So, I'm still at a loss for understanding why the House felt it necessary to... Did the House just... I mean, the bill starts out by saying, Commissioner of Administration purchasing lands on behalf of any department to be owned or managed by such department... And then the House added, or when the Department of Natural Resources contracts to purchase lands that will be owned or managed by the Department of Natural Resources. So it's whenever – I just don't understand why we need to specifically mention DNR. They're a department of the state, are they not?
It's my understanding that they can do that without OA doing it.
Conservation
is set up different due to the fact that it's set up by – Constitution, and same, I understand,
right.
with the Highway Department.
Are there any other departments besides DNR that can purchase land outside of OA?
I'm not aware of any. Let me put it that way, Senator.
Sure, I understand. No, and I understand. I'm not meaning to be a populist.
I'm not aware of any.
And I know you're focused on DNR because that's what happened in your district.
Right, and that's where this huge amount of money was filtered from.
So... For the various component purchases that went into 11 Point, were there any of those purchases that would have been small enough either by both acreage and by dollar amount under the House committee substitute that the notice provisions would not have been triggered?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So in other words, had this bill been law 10 years ago when the state moved to purchase 11 Point, there would have been newspaper notice, there would have been website notice, and there would have been a public hearing.
Right, and notice to all elected officials in the district, in the area.
Got it. And that's true under both the House Committee substitute and your bill, your original Senate bill, right? Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to work through what the House did to change your bill. None of that language, I mean, none of those changes, the limitations and the specific mention of DNR have been talked about on this floor. I don't know whether other senators are going to have questions about that, but I felt it was important to at least make sure the body understood what's different about this bill that wasn't in it when we saw it last.
Appreciate that. I didn't do a very good job explaining that. Just I mentioned the money and the size track.
Yeah. Senator, thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the senator from the 1st.
Senator from the 1st, you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the 24th.
I do.
You may proceed.
Thank you for yielding to my inquiry, Senator. So I heard you go through this and go through the changes, and I want to get back, before I talk to the sponsor of the legislation, I want to get back to the question of whether this is good public policy.
Sure.
And we certainly know that the incident that was the catalyst for this legislation being moved forward in the first place.
Right.
And yet, the question to me becomes, going forward, what does this do to the department or the state's ability to purchase land at a reasonable cost?
So let me say this. I very much support the spirit of what I believe the senator from Webster is trying to do. He had a pretty substantial development in his district that was, I think it's doubtless, it was unpopular there. I mean,
right, no
he's
question.
He's here trying to do something in response to something that had happened to his constituents. And I relate to that because I had something very similar to that happen in my district, Senator, where there was a particular real estate development proposal that was greenlit by the county council, or not by the county council, but by the Board of Equalization, or I'm sorry, the Zoning Board. And folks who lived in that part of the county did not understand what it was that was being done until it was so far down the road that the horse had left the barn by that point.
Right.
And
I remember this.
People
situation.
Were furious. You had busloads and busloads and busloads of my constituents going to Clayton, which, by the way, from I don't know if you've ever made the trip from 55 and Butler Hill to the county office building in Clayton. But you go ahead and let me know what you think the best route is to get
right.
from point
yeah,
A to point
right.
B on that in under 40 minutes. But you can't get there from here. So I understand. I didn't go into this with him, but he filed a lot of legislation in the wake of that. And some of the bills that he filed, in my view, were more reasonable than others. And of the bills that he filed, this was the one, this was probably the one that I thought was in many ways the hardest to take exception to. What is wrong with letting people know what is happening?
Well, and, you know, that to me, therein lies the rub. When you are dealing with real estate
right.
negotiation,
yep.
which is one of those areas of the Sunshine Law that's exempted from public disclosure until the final deal is done, you know, are you then putting the state at risk and in jeopardy for somebody else coming in and forcing your bid to have to be higher in order for you to make that purchase, right? I mean, that's the question, is the area that it's affected and the individuals that are absolutely affected by what goes on in their community versus when a department or the state sees a need for the purchase of a piece of land or property, what are we doing that gets in the way of them negotiating the very best deal, the very best use of our state taxpayer dollars to make that purchase? And and that's why, you know, that's why to me this is not just a simple issue. And again, I understand why the senator from Webster, that his constituents were aggrieved by this. Had this notice been out there in the midst of discussions about the purchase of the land, or, I mean, it's all about timing, isn't it?
Right.
Had this been in place and had it impacted the state's ability to purchase, and you know what, I don't even want to go back to that example because I understand that example.
Yeah.
And yet there are very few places in the state that I think left that are available to be used for public parks. I don't even want to debate that. I want to move forward and say, going forward, what kind of situation are we putting our taxpayers in when we are opening the door for somebody else to come in and force our bid to be higher in order to purchase whatever it is the department or the state deems is in the best interest of the state to purchase?
Well, and I will say this, having sat on a school board that from time to time would consider questions of real estate acquisition, and it's not the same as the State Department. We were, I mean, not a department of the state. It's not Department of Natural Resources, but we were a body politic. And, you know, of course, real estate acquisitions and sales are an exception in the Sunshine Law.
Right.
So there is that. And there are public policy reasons for that, including the concern is that, you know, on one hand, people in the district have the right to know what's getting done where. But
right.
In the course of negotiations, the problem is if real estate proposals cannot be initiated or considered in closed session, the concern is that could impact, you know, the public reaction, either pro or con, could adversely or otherwise impact, among other things, how much taxpayers are going to pay for this.
Exactly. And to me, that's, you know, that's the challenge, right?
Yeah.
That's where the rubber hits the road, if you will. That,
sure.
And so, you know, having sat on a school board, too, as you did, and experienced this kind of situation, so I think, you know, just to be very clear with the path you were heading down, if a school district or if the department was required to publicly print this in the newspaper on a, I think, weekly basis, have this public hearing, the newspaper has to have a certain circulation. If all this went into effect and the public said, we love this idea.
Right.
We love it. And the property owner says they love it. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants them to do that. To me, we've just sort of given the property owner the ability to reach into our back pocket and take our wallet and see what we have and say, that's not enough. We need more. So,
well, here's the other piece of it. I mean, there are going to be situations where sellers may not necessarily want it out on the street that they're talking about selling it to a department of the state for whatever reason.
Well, that, you know, that's an interesting point too. So I didn't even think of it from the perspective of the current landowner that is selling.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's not just one simple answer to this question, although, again, I think, you know, I certainly sympathize with the senator from Christian in what went on in his community and
Webster.
Didn't I say Webster?
You said Christian, but that's okay.
Oh, I did say Christian. I meant Webster.
That's all right.
Yes.
I'm here to help.
Right. No, thank you. You know, I understand and I sympathize, but the situation is maybe not always going to be like that one. And when we put policy in place because there was a time when a bad situation occurred. We also just have to look at the ramifications for the other types of situations that can arise when land or property is needing or desired to be purchased by the department or the state. So, you know, that to me, therein lies the rub, therein lies the question. I wish this was a simple bill and that we could, and let me just go back before I end our inquiry. You know, we talked about timing. I mean, if this timing was relative to a contract, and, you know, legally you will know this much better than I do about how this could work, but the contract is signed pending, and I don't know if anybody would ever do this, if a seller would ever be interested in a contract being signed pending public notification and public hearing. So I guess that puts the seller at risk to not be able to sell something.
Well, it's certainly, I mean, anybody that's looking at selling land to the state is going to have the whole world knowing about it.
Right.
And I'm not, let me say this, I understand the concern of the Center from Webster's constituents, so I get it. I get what he's trying to do, so.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate the inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Webster.
Senator from Webster, yield an inquiry of the Senator from the 7th?
I do.
You may proceed.
All right, Senator, I just read the bill that you had provided me and just want to make absolutely sure I understand. So when a state department wants to purchase acreage of more than 60 acres, then this triggers the requirement for a hearing, notification of elected officials, notification in newspapers. Am I missing anything?
Right. Transparency.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, for what reason do you rise?
The senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield to an inquiry to the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
You may proceed.
Okay, Senator. Tomorrow morning, about 8:30 or so, I'm going to be driving my Hyundai into the garage.
What happened to your Prius?
No,
I wouldn't even hear that.
Okay, but it's my Hyundai, and I'm gonna really rev that baby up as hard as I possibly can. And I want you to come down because if you listen real close, you might actually hear it. And I'm going to do it just for you, okay?
I would be honored if you would rev your Hyundai for me.
Thank you. It's a Sonata, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Webster, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think they're talking about Singer sewing machines or something, I think. But with that, I close, Mr. President.
The senator from Webster moves for the adoption of the conference committee report on House Committee Substitute President Bill 35 as amended. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schaff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie,
aye.
Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Barton. Senator from Barton votes aye. Senator from Butler. Senator from Butler votes aye. Senator from Green. Senator from Green votes aye. Senator from the Ninth? Senator from the Ninth votes aye. By your vote of 31 aye and 1 no, the conference committee report is adopted. Senator from Webster.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move the conference committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 35 be third read and finally passed.
You've heard the motion made by the Senator from Webster. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Webster, you're recognized. Close.
Mr. President, thank you. I close.
The Senator from Webster moves that Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Senate substitute for Senate Bill 35 as amended be read a third time and finally passed. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail will vote aye. Those to the contrary will vote no. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Senate substitute for Senate Bill number 35, an act relating to state purchases of land. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, aye. Curls, aye. Dixon, aye. Igel, aye. Emery, aye. Higeman, aye. Holzman, aye. Hoskins, aye. Hummel, aye. Kehoe, aye. Koenig, aye. Kraus, aye. Leibler, aye. Munslinger, aye. Nasheed, aye. Onder, Richard, aye. Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, aye. Rowden, Sater, Schoff, aye. Schatz, aye. Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, aye. Wallingford, aye. Walsh, aye. Wasson, aye. Whelan.
Senator from the 24th. You are not recorded. She isn't. You are an aye. Senator from the 24th votes no. By a vote of 30 aye and 3 noes, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please recognize the senator from Greene County for a privileged motion on... Senate Bill 128.
Senator from Greene, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that conference committee report...
Senator, you have a privileged motion?
I have a privileged motion, Mr. President.
State your privileged motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the conference committee report or Senate committee substitute number 2 for Senate Bill number 128 be adopted.
You've heard the motion made by the senator from Green. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, will you care to move for the adoption and explain your conference report?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the conference committee report be adopted. Mr. President, this is a culmination of a number of pieces of legislation, many of which we have dealt with already. I would just refer to it as probably the only judiciary bill, although we did turn one in from committee this evening when we came back from recess. Let's see here. The bill started out on this side as a very small half-page bill dealing with the circuit court in Jackson County, and that language obviously is in here. It is identical to what's on the governor's desk. The bill came back from the House with a number of provisions. I can go through those. That has been distributed. It's on desks. It deals with... Let's see, there is a portion of the official misconduct legislation that we have seen before. I know that not all of it is in there that I proposed over here. We do also have language, thanks to the body for allowing us to exceed the differences and add the language from the Senator from the 15th that the body passed out unanimously in Senate Bill 195 dealing with foster care and powers of attorney. The House also added an amendment which requires the Attorney General and Commissioner of Administration to submit information regarding the State Legal Expense Fund to the General Assembly. It also merges the language from House Amendment 1 and House Amendment 1 to House Amendment 4 regarding the filing of false documents by removing the phrase, except that the Secretary of State shall be held compliant by the state legislature. The false document information, or the false document legislation, I know is important to a number of folks. The conference committee substitute also varies from the perfected Senate version by keeping parts of House Amendment 1, which modifies the various provisions regarding civil and criminal proceedings and certain offenses, keeps House Amendment 1 to House Amendment 3, which modifies provisions regarding trust protectors, also keeps House Amendment number 3 as amended, which modifies a provision regarding notice to taxpayers of tax exemptions on the production of intangible products. Some may be aware this, I believe it's a senator from the 8th. This legislation was very important to him. It deals with a pause on a court case, an abrogation that we dealt with in Ways and Means. It also keeps House Amendment 4 as amended, which modifies municipal court proceedings. And we can go into detail on those. Call that the municipal court fix. We strike Section 105.714 from House Amendment 2 regarding the State Legal Expense Fund and confidentiality agreements. Some members I know are aware of the problem in St. Louis County where the judge ordered the release of the individual's name when she was listed on the Safe at Home program. We've worked closely with the Secretary of State to make sure that that is addressed, and I know this body's already passed that out. There is, and we can go by section number as well. I'm just going down through what you have in your summaries. Strikes House Amendment number 2 to House Amendment 3, which modifies provisions regarding the address confidentiality program. Again, that's under the Secretary of State. Strikes parts of House Amendment 1, which prohibits probation and parole for certain offenders who commit crimes against first responders. Strikes parts of House Amendment 1 regarding the address confidentiality program. It strikes parts of House Amendment 1 establishing the Blue Alert system. Those we felt didn't exactly fit under the title. Going by section, I'll be as brief as I can. We do have language in here from Section 29-225. That's out of Senate Bill number 176. We have language dealing with in Section 105713 on the State Legal Expense Fund again. Section 144026 dealing with production exemptions. That's the pause that I mentioned on the Director of Revenue shall not notify taxpayers of the holding of the Missouri Supreme Court decision in IBM versus Director of Revenue regarding tax exemptions for productions of intangible products before August 28, 2018. We have the child support custody provisions, Section 210.845, 452.370, 452.747, 454.500. Language dealing with the Conservation Commission, that we've already adopted today. That was out of Senate Bill 512 introduced, and we passed it in the Senator from Webster's language in Senate Bill 34. That's Section 252.069 on the conservation agents. We have the ignition interlock device, Section 302.441, termination of a trust by a trustee. That's Section 456.4-414. Some of these were House amendments that I've already mentioned. the no contest clauses, section 456, 4-420, the trust protectors, 456, 1-103, 456, 8-808, the Missouri Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act, that section 472, 400, through section 474, 490, that establishes the Missouri Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act, which allows fiduciaries to access electronic records or digital access, like a Facebook account or whatnot, on the event of the individual's death. Guardianship of a minor, that's section 475.084. I've already discussed that. Supporting and Strengthening the Families Act, section 210.1109, 475.600. 475-602, 604, and 475-024. The 16th Judicial Circuit, that I mentioned is section 478-463. The municipal judges specifies that a court serving more than one municipality shall be treated as a single municipality for the purposes of the requirement. It's to kind of ease some of the issues that we got into last year. That's section 479-020. Traffic violations, section 479, 353, and 354. Controlled substances surcharge, 488, 029, 488, 5050. The Justice Center Fund, which was discussed in Senate Bill 83, 484, 2206. The court reporter fees.
The Senate will come to order while the Senator explains his conference committee report.
Thank you, Mr. President. court reporter fees. To clarify that language, 488-2250. The bankruptcy exemptions, 513, 430, and 440. I'll tell you, that one was interesting because there is, in bankruptcy proceedings, an exemption for wedding rings up to $1,500, and this specifically delineates that engagement rings are also included in that, so we have to pass a law to know that. But guardian ad litem fees, 514, 0.040. Missouri Commercial Receivership Act, technical, I believe that is the intersectional references, and also the addition of, yes, 515.575 and 515.635. The Department of Mental Health Standing, that is the language that the Senator from Callaway has brought before us, and that is section 552.020. Domestic assault and harassment, I believe we already did in Senate Bill 34 today. That is 565.076, 091, and 566.010. And I'm almost done, Mr. President. The filing of false documents, that was Representative Matthews. We should have done that bill last year. That is a real issue that needs to be addressed. Creates the offense of filing false documents. If a filing is deemed invalid, the prevailing party will be awarded costs and fees incurred in the action. That is section 409-501, 570-095, and the provisions out of Senate Bill 512, that's section 575-280. The intoxication-related offenses, which I believe we discussed today out of Senate Bill 512, I believe it was in Senate Bill 34, the Senator from Webster, 577-001 and 010, the Victim Impact Program, the Senator from Barton, that language which we'd addressed, that's Toby's Law we've already discussed, that's section 577-011, the Evidential Breath Analyzers, this is the DWI fix, 577-037, we almost passed that last year. The offense of leaving the scene of an accident, which almost was passed last year as well, 577-060. The updates to the Address Confidentiality Program, section 589-664, and the Crime Victims Compensation Fund, which also was in Senate Bill 512, 595.045. That is the bill, the conference committee report. Mr. President, I would be happy to answer any questions if there are any. Otherwise, I would renew my motion to adopt the conference committee report.
The senator from Green has moved for the adoption of the conference committee report on Senate committee substitute number 2 for Senate Bill 128. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the first, for what reason do you rise?
Carter, the senator from Green.
Senator from Green, to yield to an inquiry of the senator from the first.
Absolutely.
You may proceed.
Hey, Senator, I appreciate you taking my inquiry. You and I were talking in the back about this bill.
Yes.
Not quite the criminal code rewrite, but not the shortest bill we've entertained
right.
this year.
That's correct. It went over as a small bill and came back. It grew exponentially in the House.
Yeah, so there are a number of things in this, and I do want to take a minute. There are some things in here that we've talked about in committee.
Right.
And I'll say it that way.
Yes.
Including one that, frankly, I'm not that wild about, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Certainly.
One of my favorite provisions in this that I don't think has gotten a lot of discussion, but I think it's actually one of the more sort of interesting newsworthy things people should know that we're doing here in this building, is what I will call the Missouri Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act.
Sounds
really boring.
It sounds boring. It's a big deal.
But what people should know is, and I've experienced this personally, as members of the body know, my father passed away last June. My father had a Facebook page. My father still has a Facebook page, and I get reminders and all that. And so we as a state do not have a really good way for personal representative, executors, trustees, or just family members, next of kin, widows, widowers, to access their departed family member or settlor's social media accounts.
Right.
And so, and many of these pages are set up to continue generating reminders. Like, I mean, I'm not even kidding. October 24th, I got the reminder, hey, it's your dad's birthday today. Which, yeah. I mean, it was what it was. Frankly, the reason that hasn't been dealt with is because I've had a few other things going on. But the point is, now that there are, I don't even know, I'm sure there are probably more than a million dead people on Facebook.
There's no way to access,
yeah.
way to for them to grant access, because it's like having a bank account with no pay on death.
Right.
There's no,
yeah.
It's like one single account holder and there's nobody else on the account.
Yeah.
You don't have the authority to go in. The bank can't let you into the account.
And look, some people are going to have different wishes. There are going to be people that say, you know what, when I go, my Facebook page, that should stay up forever. There are other people who would say, I don't want my family to have to look at that. Let's just mothball it right away.
Right.
And we don't have a good way in statute for people to deal with, you know, the Twitter feed of somebody that they just lost. And so this will help that. And I can understand why, for some, not having a way to deal with it can cause unpleasant experiences. And I kind of took it in stride, getting a reminder it was my dad's birthday on his birthday from Facebook. I appreciate that, Facebook. I was kind of, you know, already pretty well aware, but I can understand why people would be like, yeah, like, can we turn that off? Can we maybe not have that for the next however long I'm around Facebook?
Yeah.
So,
we'll have a structure in place where it's treated as an asset, to put it in layman's terms, like any other financial asset or piece of property where there's a path to, you know, address that. So
right.
I think it's long overdue. I'm glad we're getting it done.
I agree. So it's one of those things, and even if you read the text that implements it, it is not even clear to the naked eye that that's what it does, but that's
right.
what it does.
Yeah, it doesn't say Facebook, but
yeah,
that's what it is. Because it deals with all of, you know, social media is big. It deals with all the stuff.
Yeah. Another important provision that is in here is the Stiers fix.
Yes.
And that is something that we barely missed on last year. Right about this time in session, maybe the functional equivalent of 1 o'clock tomorrow,
yes.
Is when that went by the boards. There were two omnibus judiciary bills moving at the end of session. It was on one of them, but not the other. The one that it wasn't on passed, the one that it was on died.
Right.
It didn't happen. That was got wrapped up in the Castle Doctrine, some legislation brought forward by one of our colleagues from Northeast Missouri. It just didn't quite happen. It needs to. We've got an error currently that needs to be fixed because it's making it very hard. We need to get these folks who are driving while intoxicated where they need to be, and right now we're not quite there. So there's also a couple of other DUI related provisions in here. One is just changing the felony classification for DWI homicide to a Class B, correct?
I think that's correct, and I forget the section number or the.
I think that is 570, Chapter 577.
I think you're right. I'm looking here at the. Yes. I believe that's 577.001 and 010, and that is the intersectional reference change. It moves it from. We actually discussed this on the floor today. On you were inquiring of me, I think.
And yeah.
Also, it's on the senator from Webster's Senate Bill 34. It takes it out of one part of the statute and places it in another part.
Right. So, and there's at least one other DUI-related piece, and that is the ignition interlock device. And I know it is somewhat taboo on the Senate floor, but I will just say that I know that is something that Mothers Against Drunk Driving feels very strongly about, and
yes.
I'm not ashamed to say that in here.
Right.
If we can't talk about that, fine, if I've committed a faux pas, but I happen to care about what Mothers Against Drunk Driving thinks about things, and I
do too.
And if that offends the sensibilities of the body, so be it.
But, I do too. I don't think that's a faux pas at all. That is, for the reference of the body, that's section 302.441.
Yeah. So, and that will that's not an adoption or an implementation. That's an adjustment
yes.
to what we do on
right.
that currently. But that is a proposal that has been around for at least 2 or 3 years now, I know, as well. So could you, if you don't mind, there are, I think, four different sections here dealing with child support and custody.
Yes.
I think that is... Representative Beard's language,
yes.
But it's in four different sections and three different chapters. You've got 210.845 I apologize, this is a 118-page bill.
Yes.
I realize not every member of the body may be hanging on every word that's in it, but at least one or two of us need to be, Senator, in my humble opinion.
And for that, we're grateful.
Yeah, I mean, this is consequential stuff. I mean,
I believe that provision that requires responding party to file a response to any motion to modify a child support, spousal maintenance,
yeah,
or child custody. Right.
All the way on page 3. Yeah.
Okay.
Pages 3 and. Goes page 3 to page 4. The new language there basically says you have to file a responsive pleading in response to a motion to modify, which I don't think is going. I mean, I don't think that's going to revolutionize family litigation, but
right.
it's a helpful clarification.
There was one concern that was raised, I think, by one of the members on the conference committee report in the House, and I think I recall. Checking his concern was addressed by the research folks. It wasn't
right.
going to create a new problem, but this particular member has the potential anyway to be at least in that body for another 7 years. So we just encouraged him to
sure. want to make sure we get it right.
Be on the lookout for anything that might need to be
yeah.
addressed.
Well, nothing wrong with going the extra mile to try to make sure that we get this resolved so we're not talking about it next year.
For the body's information, that the other two chapters, you mentioned chapter 210, but there's the provision in 452 and 454, but they're all related to what I mentioned.
Well, and that's, yeah, and I'm actually looking, I'm leafing through to try to find that. I do want to talk about it just a little bit. It's 452, 452, 370, and 747.
Right.
That's the responsive pleading language. I think that's just putting it in four places. It's also in Chapter 454.
454, 500. Yeah.
So I will tell you there is a provision in this bill that I'm not wild about. And I don't mean to stir up a hornet's nest at all.
Sure.
But it's something we talked about in committee. It's the no contest clause. And I think that the language – tell me, the language that's in here is different than what we heard in committee, isn't it?
I believe that – what – remind me the section number.
456.4-420.
Yes, I believe this one provides that no contest clause is not enforceable against an interested person filing a motion, pleading, or other claim for relief concerning either a breach of trust by a trustee or removal by a trustee. And I think what we heard in committee, well, that was Senate Bill 171.
Right.
And that was...
Senator from Webster's language.
Right. And I think what it came back was what it was amended on by the by Representative Cornejo, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I'm getting a head nod from the bench.
Sure. So... And for those of you listening assiduously to the proceedings, that's pages 22 and 23, I think. And the issue
it is a little different than what we sent over or than what we had already heard in committee.
Yeah. It's been tightened up some, and I appreciate that. I could still kind of take it or leave it. I mean, I do understand the concern motivating it because you have people who, might understand that they have folks who are likely to inherit assets from their estate. Who they might deem to be really, really litigious. And a lot of folks that actually have a substantial inheritance to pass along would probably rather it go to their intended beneficiaries rather than to litigation expense.
Of course.
And so what a lot of settlors will do is adopt a no contest clause to basically say, look, you want to challenge the validity of this trust in court, that's fine, just as long as you understand you're disinherited. I have mixed feelings about it. I'm not it doesn't cause me to be a no vote on the bill, but I think that's important for folks to know. I know you mentioned the bankruptcy exemption language, and of course the core bill, the 16th Circuit Jackson County language that we've talked about, including the original. Was this the original consent bill that we had on and off the consent calendar discussion a couple times?
Well, this, what's in here is what we changed the consent bill to. You're correct.
Right.
We had the consent bill, and some members from the area that included the circuit had issues with that, so we pulled it off consent, put it back to committee, fixed it, brought it back out here. It's on the governor's desk. This language matches that.
Well, looks a little bit different now. Well, Senator, if there's anybody still awake wanting to inquire on this, I'm happy to take an inquiry. I know you are as well. But this is a pretty substantial bill that I thought warranted some discussion.
Well, I want to say one thing before you. I know this is your inquiry, but I want to thank you for your all of your diligence in committee. And I'm sure the body knows this, but I want to say it. There's no way that we'd be able to do this without you. So thank you very much.
Senator, same. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none. Senator from Green, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The Senator from Green moves that the conference committee report for Senate Committee Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill 128 be adopted. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle, Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater. Schaaf. Schatz. Shoup. Sifton. Sylvie. Wallingford. Walsh. Wasson. Whelan.
Senator from the ninth. Senator from the ninth votes aye. Senator from St. Francis. Senator from the seventh. Senator from the seventh votes aye. Senator from Butler. Senator from Butler votes aye. Senator from Callaway. Senator from Callaway votes aye. Senator from Andrew. Senator from Andrew, you are not recorded. Senator from Andrew votes aye. Senator from Webster. Senator from Webster votes aye. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 23rd votes aye. By a vote of 32 ayes and 1 no, the conference committee report is adopted. Senator from Green.
Mr. President, may I inquire of you?
You may.
Would you please restate the bill number?
Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 128. Senator, would you like to move for the third reading of that Conference Committee Substitute?
Yes, I would, Mr. President. Thank you so much.
The Senator from Green has moved that Conference Committee Substitute number 2 for Senate Committee Substitute, or Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for number 2 for Senate Bill 128 be third read and finally passed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 11th, for what reason do you rise?
Do you inquire of the Senator from Green?
Senator from Green, do you yield to the inquiry of the Senator from the 11th?
I do.
Senator, I just wanted to let you know, I'm new around here, but I catch on quick, and I'm available for tips if you realize, you know, the next motion and all that type of stuff.
Thank you so much.
I'm here for you as your colleague and a master of the Senate in my first year to help you in whatever it is you need to move this forward. So I'm available.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Green, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Green moves that Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute number 2 for Senate Bill 128 be read a third time and finally passed. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll. The chamber will come to order as we call roll.
Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute number 2 for Senate Bill number 128, an act relating to judicial proceedings. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schaaf, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
By your vote of 32 aye and 1 no, the bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading. I'd ask you to recognize the senator from the 4th District on House Bill number 831.
Senator from the 4th, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business for House bills on third reading. Senator from the 4th, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that House bill. President.
Senator from the 4th. There are no speakers in this chamber. There is a president. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 831 be brought before the body for third reading, final passage.
The Senator from the 4th has moved that House Committee Substitute for House Bill 831 be brought before the body. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from the 4th. At the time that the bill was laid over, the Senator from the 14th had the floor. Senator from the 14th, for what reason do you rise?
I close.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Green, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, having voted on the prevailing side of it was Senate Amendment 1, Senate Amendment 2, excuse me, I move that the vote by which Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 831 was adopted be reconsidered.
Senator from Green, will you repeat your motion?
I will, Mr. President. Having voted on the prevailing side, I move that the vote by which Senate Amendment number 2 to Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 831 was adopted be reconsidered.
The Senator from Green has moved that the vote by which Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 831 that was adopted be reconsidered. Does any senator desire to be heard on the motion? Senator from Green.
To explain, thank you. Mr. President, what I would like to do is, this is the amendment which corrected the provision. I explained to the body where one member in the House many, many years ago decided to do something personal, unfortunately, and another member's pension was affected, and it was intended personally. My intention here, the body adopted that amendment. However, after we put that on, the folks from Mosier's came, and they have, since we did this last year, they had come up with even more narrow language, which will narrow this down to even fewer people that it affects. It'll be much better language, and this is what the House is putting on for this particular fix. So my intention here, I'd like to take the amendment off that I put on, so I'd ask the body to reconsider it, and if that motion is successful, my intention is to withdraw the amendment And I have another amendment to offer, which is narrower. It will save the state money. Thank you, Mr. President.
You have heard the motion of the senator from Green. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Green, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close on the motion to reconsider.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Green. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon,
aye,
Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Callaway. By a vote of 32 ayes and 0 noes, the motion carries. Senate Amendment 2 is back before the body. Senator from...
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I believe I have the floor.
Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please send the amendment back?
Your amendment will be sent back. Senator from Callaway. Senator from Green.
I would like to now send forward the amendment that...
Send your amendment forward. Has your amendment been distributed?
It has, Mr. President. I move for its adoption.
Are you requesting a waiver of the reading?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to move for the adoption and explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the adoption. Again, this is... accomplishes the same thing as we adopted the other night for that former House member who's now a judge. It rights what I believe is a wrong, but this language that Mosier's brought me is new language, which is narrower in scope, and it has a smaller price tag. And I would move for its adoption. Or I would renew my motion if there are no questions.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Green. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Callaway.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under the provisions of Senate Rule 91, I request to be recused from voting on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 831 and all of arts that go with it.
Hearing no objection, your request for recusal will be granted. Further discussion on Senate Amendment 2. Senator from Barton, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the Senator from Green?
Senator from Green, do you yield to an inquiry of the Senator from Barton?
I do.
You may proceed.
Thanks, Senator. I confess I am confused.
Okay. You're not the only one tonight, Senator. You heard my
situation on the previous bill we were on.
I know, but there was an offer to help.
Yes, there was. I thank the senator from the 11th again.
Senator from the 11th said he would be glad to help any time. Can you tell me exactly why we need this amendment? I mean, you kind of went through it, but I wasn't following you when you went through it.
I had discussion the other night, I believe, with the senator from Buchanan. Yes, it was, if I'm not mistaken, 2009. Filing had closed, and one of the members in the House had filed for judge and wound up being unopposed. And some other member of the House who was able to accomplish what he wanted to basically do a vendetta against the individual ruined part of the pension for him personally and came over and made it very apparent in front of all of us that that's what he did. He had extreme...
Animosity
toward the individual, and okay. I've been trying to get this injustice corrected all those years. That's all.
Okay, so that's all that does is remove that special law.
Well, we were changing the pension system at that time.
Yes.
But what this does is, which is consistent with what we try to do with pension issues, is it leaves it the way it was when he filed for office, and it only changes it in that for that individual. Situation.
And so it restores
not
it
the
as
individual,
if that,
excuse me, but for that year. And I think if you read the amendment, it says for any person that's.
So it restores it as forward, if so. That if it, as if that language had never been added. I mean, that's the intent.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Senator. It's more narrow than what we adopted the other night.
And that's the part that bothers me. What does more narrow mean? I mean, does it mean is some of it still there, or?
The exception to the pension bill that we passed that year will be for fewer people. So, in other words, it will save the state money.
I'll talk to you offline, Senator.
Okay.
Maybe we can straighten this out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
So, any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan.
Inquire of the senator from Barton.
Senator from Barton, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from Buchanan?
I do yield.
You may proceed.
Senator, why don't we just have a completely free and fair discussion and actually discuss what exactly we're talking about here?
Would you like that? I'm fine with that. We can do it now. We can do it offline.
No, I just think all the members in the body ought to know what's going on. Because, I mean, we really ought to have the information. And so several years ago when I was in the House, the Supreme Court had ruled that certain of our statutes were unconstitutional, and they had to do with sodomy. And Representative Scott Lipke was the head of the Judiciary Committee, being an attorney, and he determined that the best thing to do was to clean up the statutes and remove the part that the Supreme Court of the United States said was unconstitutional. So
I remember
we
that,
did it.
Senator.
And we
that.
Passed the law, and he didn't make a big deal out of it, but the leadership in the House didn't like that and were very offended. So what they did in retribution was they changed the law so that a person who took office as a circuit judge the day, I guess it was, if he had taken office one day earlier, then he would have got his pension. But being that he took office, you know, on January 1st, he didn't get his pension. And that was a very wrong thing to do for what he did, which he thought he was doing the exact right thing. But there were some people who just were just totally offended that he cleaned up the statute. And so that's what it's about.
All right. I remember the incident. I didn't know about the judiciary pension thing.
So Judge Lipke is an honorable guy. He deserves to have this misjustice fixed. That's what it's about.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Green, you recognize close.
I close.
The Senator from Green has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 2. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, Senate Amendment 3, excuse me. The Senator from Green has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 3. Is many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Committee Sub-Super, House Committee Sub-Super, House Bill 831? Seeing none. Senator from the 4th, you recognize close.
I close.
The Senator from the 4th renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 831 as amended be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll. Try that again. The Senator from Green has... The Senator from the 4th has moved that Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 831 as amended be adopted. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 4th.
I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 831 be read a third time and finally passed.
The Senator from the 4th renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 831 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please... Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, Senator from the 4th, recognize close.
Renew my motion.
The Senator from the 4th renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 831 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 831, an act relating to the retirement of public employees with effective dates for certain sections and an emergency clause for a certain section. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan,
by a vote of 32 aye and 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Senator from the 4th, you are recognized for the adoption of the emergency clause.
I move for the adoption of the emergency clause.
The Senator from the 4th moves for the adoption of the emergency clause. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the 15th. You're not recorded. Senator from the 15th votes aye. By your vote of 32 aye and 0 no, the emergency clause has been adopted. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Cole.
For the benefit of the body, we're waiting for messages. So while we're waiting, would you please recognize the senator from Christian County for House Bill number 115.
Senator from Christian, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Committee substitute for House Bill number 115 with Senate Committee substitute be called from the informal calendar and taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Christian. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Christian.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill number 115, and I have a Senate substitute.
Send your substitute forward. Has your substitute been distributed?
Yes, it has, and I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you like to move for the adoption and explain your substitute?
I do move for the adoption, and I will be as brief as I can. These are really, most of them are about regulations on alcohol distilleries for the most part, different phases in alcohol. I'll just give you a brief description of each thing that's in it. I will tell you that I believe all of these have been heard in committee and most of them voted out of committee here in the Senate, and that to my knowledge, not one of them has had any opposition. I've tried to keep this as clean as I could keep it. The original bill is airport regulations. This is the bill that allows the St. Louis and Kansas City airport, if you have a beer in the bar or the restaurant there in the airport, you can carry that to the gate, but you have to get rid of it before you go through the gate and get on the plane. But it keeps people from gulping down the thing as their plane's coming, and they can just carry it to the gate and throw it in the trash can when they're done. That's all that one does. The next one is recreational resorts distillery. This is about Big Cedar Lodge, Top of the Rock down at Branson. They have bought a very famous moonshiner popcorn Sutton's still, and they want to use it in their operations down there. I think the senator from Franklin said it best. It's more of a tourism thing than a distillery thing. They want to show how the old original Scotch-Irish in the area made whiskey from their stills. This is a very famous still. Popcorn was a very, very, probably the most famous moonshiner in Tennessee. And Mr. Morris has bought his still and wants to set it up at Top of the Rock, and this would allow him to do that. The third piece is about ignition interlock devices. Present law says that if you have an ignition interlock device, in some circumstances, you can get a variance to drive a work truck if that involves your job. The law also says, however, if you own the company, you cannot get one. This simply says that if you control the company, in other words, if you're the president of the company but you don't own it, you still cannot get one. It is something MoDOT has asked for to match federal law because it's costing MoDOT money without it. But that is all it does. It just says if you control the company, you can't get the variance. Next one is about operating hours for distilleries. This one, more or less lets distilleries, the one that I'm more familiar with is Boulevard in Kansas City, where they sell their product at their distillery. It gets them more to matching a bar or a restaurant in their hours that they can be open. Monday through Saturday, currently they can be open from 6 a.m. to midnight. This would change it from 6 a.m. to 1:30 on Sunday. Currently, they can be open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. This would change it to 9 p.m. to midnight. That is all that one does. The next one is about the supervisor of liquor control. There's two pieces to this. The first one creates an expedited process for approval of label with the State Division of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Control. Right now, if a company wants to have, let's say, a Christmas label on their bottle, or I don't know, what other, Halloween, whatever, it takes sometimes as much as 2 or 3 months to get that authorization through alcohol, tobacco, and firearms because of the way the regulations are today. By the time they get the regulation, it may be past the holiday. It kind of defeats the purpose. So this allows the supervisor, they still have the authority, but it allows them to speed that process up quite a bit. The second part of it is, has language from the senator from the 27th, I believe, in it, and it is about in-state-only breweries, and it's called keg collars. You have to put the keg collar on it to ship it. This is basically what this came up was, if you have a brewery in town, downtown in a city, and a restaurant down the street wants to buy a keg of your product, instead of going through a long process that, again, can take weeks to get that keg down there, this gives alcohol, tobacco, and firearms a much quicker process to be able to do that, so you can get the keg down to the restaurant and do their business. That is all it does. The last part we have passed out of here before, earlier this session. It's a repeal of out-of-state wine retailers' reciprocity. It is involved in a federal lawsuit where a Florida company is suing the state. And I know we've already passed this out. That's all it does. It involves that lawsuit, and it kind of helps the state out a little bit. That is all that is in it. As I said, I don't think there's been any opposition testimony in any of the committees against any of these. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Christians. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 15th, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Christian.
Senator from Christian, do you yield to name grade the senator from the 15th?
I do.
You may proceed.
I had one concern, and that was on the definition of recreational resort.
Uh-huh.
Reading the definition, it looks like it might be specifically just for one business. Is there a reason why?
No, it would be for anyone. The way it is right now, again, I'll use Boulevard because I'm familiar with them. You have to have the still inside the building. This simply says it can be on the premises, and you can sell it in the building, but it can be on the premises. It could be for anybody. Anybody that wants to meet this criteria could use it. It wouldn't be just for one. I mean, this one entity wants it, but anyone could use it.
Do you know how many facilities in Missouri that might qualify?
Well, I would say a hotel that wanted to serve them. I don't know that it would be financially reasonable for them, but they could do it.
And the definition says they have to have a restaurant, 30 rooms.
Have to have a restaurant, yeah.
Outdoor activities, including fishing and golf.
Well, it has that there. I don't know that you'd have that. Does it?
Yeah, it's in the definition.
I don't know that you have to have golf there. I think it's just outdoor activity. I mean, I think a lot of things could probably qualify for that, but. Yeah, I probably what I did in that was describe what they're doing. Yeah, I probably did. Which he is, like I said, I think they are going to sell the product. I know they are inside. But for the most part, it is on a trail that they use that goes through a cave. And you stop on the trail and you see how the old original, they're very big on the Scotch-Irish heritage that settled the Ozarks to begin with. They think this is part of that heritage, and they kind of wanted to show it that way. That's really what it amounts to.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further questions.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the senator from Christian.
Senator from Christian, do you yield to inquire the senator from the 24th?
I do, and my apologies for saying the 27th earlier, Senator. I meant the 24th.
You may proceed. That's my lucky number, so that worked out kind of nicely. So, yes, but I am from the 24th. I just wanted to verify, because we talked about a lot of different bills that I think you left off of this because they were controversial. So I wanted to make sure none of those controversial pieces, let me move my microphone to this side, none of those controversial pieces are included in this. So those were around, there's nothing about coupons or discounts in this legislation, correct?
Right, right.
And no warehouse language, no beer merchandising.
Nope, nope, none of that.
Manufacturers'
Every bit of the coupons, every bit of the rebates,
all
of that
stuff is out. All right.
Every bit.
That's what I thought, and I think I supported every one of these different provisions that you do have.
Tried to keep this as clean as I knew how to.
I know. I think you've done a really good job, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Barton, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire, the senator from Christian.
Senator from Christian, do you also agree with the senator from Barton?
Gladly.
You may proceed.
Thanks, Senator. My question is relative to this latest Senate substitute, and it says that one of the differences is that it removes the provisions relating to powdered alcohol. Can you tell me why we took those out?
Yeah, Senator, the representative who filed that has tried to outlaw it the last 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And God bless her, she kind of gave up because she couldn't get it through the Senate. And so this year she kind of tried to regulate it.
Right.
I honestly thought I am promising her that I will do all that I can next year to help her outlaw it, because I think that's what it should be.
Well,
a 15-year-old shouldn't be able to buy powdered alcohol over the internet. So I just decided, instead of confusing the issue with what I thought really wasn't a whole lot of regulation, I mean, how are we going to regulate what a kid can buy over the internet, really? I mean, we can say he has to be 21, but how are you going to do that?
Okay, so your contention is that would have been poorly regulated,
yes,
and therefore
I thought it would confuse the
issue. I was fine with outlawing it. We couldn't get it through the Senate.
In the end, I thought it would confuse the issue, and I just believe 31 states outlaw it. I think we ought to be the 32nd.
So have you made that argument to the representative?
I have not to her face, but I think she's heard my belief.
She was there to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the senator from the 7th had a real problem when we tried to outlaw it.
I would like very much to help her try to do that next year.
Do you know have you had any discussions with the senator from the 7th? I think he was the one that had the biggest problem with outlawing
it. I have not talked to him about it, but I intend to.
Okay. Well, I'll lean on him with you, Senator.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from Christian.
Senator from Christian, do you yield to Negri, the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
You may proceed.
Senator, on page 4 of your bill, and then in the first line, it mentions the word shanks. What is a shank?
Well, I think that's got something to do with a keg, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well, I think it does, but I
figured it's your bill and you would know.
I think it does have something to do with
something that you're. Does it have something to do with golf?
Well, it could have something to do. When I play it, there's a lot of shanks.
Okay. Well, you know, you just wouldn't want to get one stuck into you. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none. Senator from Christian, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
The senator from Christian moves that Senate substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 115 be adopted. As many of the opinion, that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The senator from Christian.
President, I now move that Senate substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 115 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Christian. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator from Christian, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
The senator from Christian moves that Senate substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 115 be declared be read a third time and finally passed. As may be opinion, the motion shall prevail. We'll signify by saying aye. All those in favor will vote yes. All those opposed will vote no. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 115, an act relating to intoxicating liquor. Senators Brown, Chappelle-Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the 8th. Madam Secretary, please call absentees. Senator from the 9th. Senator from the 9th votes aye. Senator from the 15th, could you repeat your vote? By a vote of 31 aye and 2 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you recognize Senator from Franklin on House Bill 302?
Sergeant at Arms.
Are we third reading this?
Yes. We don't perfect House bills.
Thank you.
Senator from Franklin, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we do pass Senate Bill 302. Third reading finally passed.
Senator, would you like to bring the bill before the body?
I think we just need to make a third read. Do we have to bring it before the body?
Make a motion to bring it up for third reading.
Yes, Mr. President, I make a motion that we bring before the body Senate Bill 302.
You've heard the motion. You've heard the motion of the senator from Franklin. All those opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I apologize. It is Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House committee substitute for House bills 302 and 228. And I make a motion that we third read and finally pass that bill.
The senator from Franklin has moved that Senate substitute number 2 for House Committee substitute for House Bill 302 and 228 be third read and finally passed. You were You were previously recognized to close. Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Buchanan. Senator, you record as an aye. As sure as I know how to be. Senator from Andrew. You are an aye. You record as an aye. By your vote of 32 aye and 1 no, the bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator from Franklin, you are recognized for the adoption of the emergency clause.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the emergency clause.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Aye. Senator from Green. Senator from Green votes aye. Okay. Senator from the 8th. The senator from the 8th votes aye. Senator from the 13th. Senator from the 13th votes aye. Senator from the 5th. Senator, you recorded as an aye. By a vote of 32 aye and 0 no, the emergency clause has been adopted. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried.
Alrighty. We don't need this anymore. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. We don't get the messages. I'll wait and y'all can leave. Last one. Would you please recognize the senator from Boone County for House Bill number 452.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Committee Substitute House Bill 452 be brought before the body for third reading and final passage.
Senator from Boone moves that the House Bill 452 be brought before the body. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Boone. There is an amendment pending.
Who is it?
There's an amendment pending?
There is an amendment pending. We believe it's Senator Buchanan. It's Senate Amendment 1. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, do I have an amendment pending on the bill? Is that...
You do. It's Senate Amendment 1.
Okay, well, I think... do I have to withdraw that amendment in order to have a Senate sub offered? I probably do, don't I?
It would be our wishes that you would do that.
Okay, please send my amendment back.
Thank Your amendment will be sent back. Senator from Boone.
Hey, Mr. President, I have a Senate substitute.
Send the substitute forward.
Substitute, I believe, has been distributed. I would move for the waiver of the reading and would move for its adoption.
The Senator from Boone has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute. Senate substitute for House Committee Substitute House Bill 452. You move for the adoption.
I move for the adoption of the Senate substitute, Mr. President.
Would you care to explain your substitute?
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 452 is the bill that we heard, I believe, yesterday. We spent maybe a couple days ago. We spent several hours on it. This is the bill in dealing with employee physicians and the contractual relationships between hospitals and employee physicians, non-employee physicians. Over the course of the past, I believe now 48 hours, if my timing is right, I have had some ongoing negotiations with the Senator from Buchanan and other stakeholders, and the substitute before you represents the compromise that we have come to. This does, I think it is a, truly is a compromise. I think it tightens the scope of the bill as far as the entities or the individuals who would be named as employees of hospitals. We do a number of things to try and alleviate the concerns of the senator, and that is the language that's represented in this bill. With that, I'd certainly answer any questions.
The Senator from Boone has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute for House Committee Substitute House Bill 452. Discussion. Any Senator from Buchanan, what reason your eyes?
Fire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, yield.
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, I really appreciate the work that you've done. I think you remember I told you that there were a few words that needed to be put before. It was the limitations on liability as provided for in. And those words should be on line 28 on page 5. And so what I've done is I've drafted up a little amendment here, and I'm just going to offer up this amendment to put those words in. It's just an oversight.
Would you repeat what those words are? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it should go right after sub 5, and it should say the limitations on liability as provided for in this section. That's what
tell
it's
me,
supposed
tell
to
me where you, I'm sorry. Tell me where
okay,
you
look
at
page 5.
Page 5.
The very last line.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, and after the 5, it should say, the limitations on liability as provided for in this section shall apply to all claims for contribution.
That was the language we...
Yeah, that was the language that we had...
Thank agreed. You, Senator.
Okay, so I've drafted this up, and I'll just... send this right on up there. Mr. President?
Senator Buchanan?
I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
It has not been distributed, but it is short and may be read, and you'll have to kind of, check it out to make sure that it's just right, but I move for its adoption.
I'm happy to do that. I'll check it out and see if it's right. Madam Secretary, would you read the amendment? And Senator Buchanan, you move for the adoption.
Senate Amendment Number 1, offered by Senator Schaaf, amend Senate Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bill Number 452, page 5, section 538.210, line 28, by inserting after, quote, 5, period, end quote, the following, quote, the limitations of liability as provided for in, end quote, period.
Senator Buchanan, do you move for the adoption? Care to explain your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President, I move for the adoption. And basically, this would change the last line on page 5, which is line 28. And instead of saying this section shall apply to all claims for contribution, it would say the limitations on liability as provided for in this section shall apply to all claims for contribution. And after we had a discussion between myself and the senator from the first, we felt those words were necessary in order to clarify and make this consistent with the previous law. And that's what it does. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Does anyone, any senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 1? Senator from the first, what reason do you ask?
To inquire of the senator from Buchanan.
Senator Buchanan, yield. Proceed.
Senator, thank you. You have worked incredibly hard on this bill, going all the way back to the first time the Senate bill was on the floor back during the winter months. I've got your amendment. But the substitute has some other differences with the last rendition of this that we had before the body.
Yeah, and I'll be glad to run through it with you if you like.
Yeah, okay, would you mind? Yeah.
So, you know, it took quite a while to tease this whole thing apart. It was like peeling an onion. But it turns out that the Jefferson case,
right?
Basically you had a radiology group that was contracted with the hospital, and then there was a physician who worked for the radiology group. But the radiology group, to our understanding, billed, you know, for its services to the patients and the insurance companies, and they weren't like a wholly owned or mostly owned subsidiary of the hospital.
They were just an independent company operating under that roof.
Right, but they were providing some services to the
right.
hospital. Just it wasn't an employment situation, but it was the because of the fact that the definition of physician employee wasn't used in the statute, then the court held that they had agency, or they were held liable, that the hospital was liable for the work of the physician.
Right.
Okay, so what we did was we redefined employee so that it wouldn't cover physicians, and that way it would cover all non-physicians who are supplied to the healthcare provider by an entity that provides staffing.
And that, I think, was not only your biggest concern in all of this, but mine too, is the non-physician and making sure that this language reaches them in the way that we intend to, in a manner that does not leave potentially responsible parties off the hook right. as a matter of law.
Right. So what we said was that an employee is any individual who is directly compensated. So that would include doctors who are directly compensated.
Right.
And we said other non-physicians
right.
who are provided by a staffing agency. So, you know, that way you'd have staff nurses and staff everything.
Yeah, an entity means it could be just about anything. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then on the next page, once you've defined employee and you've carved out those physicians, then over here we've said
page
that
five.
The healthcare no healthcare provider whose liability is limited by the provisions of this section shall be liable to any plaintiff based on the actions or omissions of any other entity or individual who is not an employee of such healthcare provider. So now we've said that since we now know that employees include non-physicians who are provided by a staffing agency, now you've got the liability going to the hospital for the staff, nurse or the staff cleaning person or the staff, you know, occupational therapist or whatever. Okay, then it says, unless the individual is an employee of a subsidiary in which the healthcare provider has a controlling interest, and the subsidiary does not carry a professional liability insurance policy or self-insurance covering said individual at least $1 million per occurrence, and a professional liability insurance policy or self-insurance covering said subsidiary of at least $1 million per occurrence. So now what we've said is, if they do carry $2 million of insurance, then the hospital isn't liable. But if they don't carry $2 million of insurance, then they are. So that seemed like it'd be a reasonable accommodation. So you've exempted out the Jefferson case because they weren't a wholly owned subsidiary or a subsidiary which, the healthcare provider had a controlling interest. So that carves out the Jefferson case, but leaves to as large of a degree as we could achieve everybody else.
And I think that we have made this about as airtight as it can be made, understanding that there's no language that's going to be absolutely
perfect. It's been run up
perfect.
The flagpole by everybody that we know of. And so as far as we can tell, this is just about as airtight as it could get.
Yeah, so silly question. I note page 5, lines 20 and 21, the word employee appears on that line, on each of those lines, and it's capitalized. Is that?
Yeah, now this was something that we were told that because of the fact that we defined the word employee on page 2, line 11,
yeah,
they wanted to have that capitalized because supposedly, and I've never heard this before, that capitalizing a word indicates that it is defined elsewhere.
In a certain context, yes. In many legal documents, absolutely. That is a very conventional practice in contract writing. That is a very conventional practice in litigation briefing. Haven't seen it in statute. Would be somewhat amused to see if we did that in statute all the time. But I will say, by doing it that way, I don't think there's any doubt that you're meaning to refer to the definition that's two pages prior. So, I mean,
I didn't really care, but I'd never heard it before, but, you know, whatever.
I wouldn't want to upset the senator from Green to suggest that a revision bill to make that change globally throughout our entire statute books. I wouldn't do that to our friends in the revision.
Right.
So, all right. So, paragraph 4, any individual is not an employee of a subsidiary. All right, forgive me. I just want to go through this language on the floor myself. I know you just went discussed what it does. So, all right. No health care provider whose liability is limited by the provisions of this chapter shall be liable to any plaintiff based on the actions or omissions or of any other individual who is not an employee of such health care provider. So, no health care provider whose liability is limited shall be liable to any plaintiff, which is to say, who's not an employee or any other who's not an employee. That takes care of the contribution issue, I suppose, is why you have the reference to who is not an employee of such health care provider. That's what we're doing there, right?
Mm-hmm.
In effect. All right. And in the first part of that sentence, limited by the provisions of the chapter shall be liable to any plaintiff based on the actions or omissions of any individual. So that first sentence is really just dealing with the contribution issue, isn't it?
Actually, there's only one sentence in sub 4.
Oh, I'm sorry, the first clause.
Right.
Yeah. Lines 18 through 20 goes to contribution as I read it. Unless it's an employee of a subsidiary and the subsidiary does not carry liability insurance or self-insurance covering such an individual, so $1 million per occurrence. And again, the goal here is to make sure that we don't exonerate in statute potentially responsible parties, and that we want to make sure that appropriate levels of insurance are available to answer for mistakes that, try as we might to avoid them, nonetheless do happen. That, you agree with me?
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. And your amendment goes to the start of line 5, which is the contribution language. And is that any different?
If you look up at line 16,
right?
Line 16 says, which we are, deleting. It says, such limitation
right.
shall apply to all claims for contribution. And so that's the way it's supposed to be. So we put the limitations on liability as provided for in this section. Because, as you pointed out, if you don't do that, the way this is now written, the entire section applies to all claims, and it could be construed that there wouldn't ever be a claim for contribution.
Right, right.
So that was the fix to address your concern.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Well, it has been a long odyssey for this bill. It is an odyssey that is nearing its conclusion. And
this is a big improvement in the status quo.
Very much so. Well, yeah, it deals with the issues that we're intending to deal with in a way that I think is as fair as we're ever going to get for the parties concerned. So if you don't mind, Senator, I support your amendment. I'm going to inquire of another senator here for just a moment. Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from the 7th?
Senator from the 7th, yield.
I do.
Proceed.
So, Senator, I'm not sure. Do you know at this hour, I note that it's 11:30 and the Senate is still in. Do you know if the House is still in?
I just looked at the House homepage.
Yeah.
And it said the House will stand at ease.
Interesting.
And I think the last time I talked to our floor leader, we're waiting for messages from the House.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I haven't seen our floor leader in the last few minutes.
I was inquiring of the senator from Cole. And
what's that?
I said you can always inquire of the senator from Cole, and he'll.
You know, on the off chance that he might be over in the House right now, I'm pretty sure I don't want to distract him from what he might be doing. So, because anything that can help expedite things as between House and Senate would be tremendously helpful to all involved. And
did you make the press conference that we
had earlier?
You know, I did not. I had already left the building to go grab dinner when the text came. So
I got here a little bit late. I'm not sure I've ever seen it. Ever seen both parties have a joint press. I can't remember a time.
Tell me about it. I wasn't there.
Well, the senator from Clay, and the senator from Phelps, and the senator from North St. Louis County, and the senator from Jackson, 9th District, all essentially presented the Senate position for HCB 3.
Yeah.
And the remaining caucus members of both caucuses who were here, the remaining members of the Senate, were all in the Press of Vail area, and it was a very unique sight.
Yeah.
And I thought back to Senator from the 9th and the Senator from Green singing Kumbaya the other day, and here we were, four leaders from each, you know, each chamber, each side right. of the aisle, working together for it. So.
Not always. We don't see that as often as most of us would like. Senator, you know who I think is dying to hear about this press conference?
Who's that?
I got a sneaky hunch that maybe in a minute or two, when the time is right, the senator from Boone. Was he there?
I don't remember.
He may want to reminisce with you about that. I don't know.
Okay.
So
whoever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe he's going to get briefed on the press conference in preparation for his inquiry with you.
I'm going to ask for the floor here. Are you okay with that?
I'm going to talk
to the senator from Cole. Wants to chat.
Fair enough. I'll let you and the senator from Cole catch up about this press conference, Mr. Okay. President. Thank you,
President.
Senator from 7th.
Can I inquire of the senator from Cole?
Senator from Cole, yield.
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
I heard you talking to the senator from the 1st. What you didn't tell him is you were tempted to switch parties when you were up there. just go out and say it.
I think that...
Now, we do have an approval process. I haven't walked you through that yet.
We're entering into a post-partisan world. At some point in time, our people are just going to be sick of the labels because I am a 1904 Republican. I don't know if you knew that or not. I am a Teddy Roosevelt progressive. And so Republican today doesn't mean what it meant 100 years ago, and neither does Democrat. So labels are what we make them be, and they don't really matter, especially in this room.
Labels matter sometimes, like on cereal. You always want to read the label.
You do. Are we in a position to move us forward this evening?
With cereal or with the press conference?
Messages. I thought we were waiting.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. While this has been going on, the fine, hardworking men and women who help us here have received the appropriate things we need, being the day before the last day of session.
Excellent. I'm willing.
You know, you'll be happy to know, as will the rest of the body and the 7.2 people listening.
Yes.
That we won't have to have this inquiry, hopefully, very long.
Well, I'm okay with that. I'm glad that we had it in the first place. And coming into what is the final, 18 hours? I don't know how many we have right now. But I probably wouldn't have predicted what I saw tonight a week ago.
No.
So it actually did warm my heart to see senators working together on behalf of the Senate for the senior citizens and the disabled that we're standing up for.
Yeah, you know, you and I, we disagree on a lot of issues. But, you know, somewhere along the line, it would be nice to try to figure out a way to where you can disagree, and then when you do agree, you can get together. You and I have heard these stories, I have, from Democrats and Republicans that served in this body that before term limits, that's how they got along. Because they didn't have to worry about this end coming to their time. And so I tell people all the time, term limits, which I voted for, I thought were the greatest things in the world as a private citizen. And now that I'm inside the sausage-making machine, and maybe there's a right number of years, but it's certainly not 8, it drives behavior differently.
Well, so let me tell you, next year, the first bill I'm going to file, and I'm going to ask every member of this chamber to co-sponsor is to change the term limit law to 16 years in either chamber, and I'm going to ask every member here to co-sponsor. It'll be the priority that I personally try to shepherd through the process, take it to the House as early as we can, get as many members over there to support it, and then give the voters a chance to reconsider that.
Would you make sure that residents of Cole County are exempt from that? Because I can't take another 16 minutes, much less. I don't want any part of that. I'll be happy to help you.
All right.
I agree with what you want to do. Personally... These are my constituents. They're staring at me.
We all
have a retirement plan up there together.
Notice that we are in the exact same desk on the opposite sides of the room. I just noticed that for the first time.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It is.
I'm on the right side, though.
I'm on the left
side. If you're facing the dais. What about the senator from the 24th? She's stuck.
She is stuck out. We've locked her out. Well, I'm going to let her back in.
I know she's not standing there because she's enjoying this. She just can't sit down.
It's that time of the year when we're all anxious and ready to see a conclusion.
And I appreciate you getting some time so our colleagues can try to work through an issue like the Senate does when it's functioning properly. And I know it's late, and we're trying to get this resolved, so y'all can go.
I'm going to hand it over. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on Senate Amendment 1. Senator Buchanan, you recognize close on Senate Amendment 1.
I close.
Senator Buchanan moves to adopt Senate Amendment 1 and Senate Substitute House Committee Substitute House Bill 452. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We're back on the bill. Senate Substitute House Committee Substitute House Bill 452 as amended. Is any senator like to be heard? Senator 24th, what reason do you rise?
President, I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
Thank you. It has not been distributed. I ask for it to be read, and I will not close until you're done reading it. I move for its adoption.
The Senator 24th moves the adoption of Senate Amendment 2. The waiver of reading has been granted. She wants it read. Okay, please read the amendment, and she moves the adoption.
Senate Amendment Number 2, offered by Senator Shoup. Amend Senate Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bill Number 452, page 5, section 538.210, line 20, by striking the word, quote, employee, end quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, employee, end quote, and further amend line 21 by striking the word, quote, employee, end quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, employee, end quote.
The Senator 24th moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment 2. Senator 24th, do you care to explain your amendment?
Yes, actually, if you listen to the reading, you probably don't know what that was talking about, but it's employee with the capital E that was discussed briefly in an earlier inquiry tonight, actually is not the way we do this in any of our statutes. And I've talked to the people at the research table. They said this should not be capitalized. It should be lowercase. And so I am working to change it to make sure we get it right, moving from capital E employee to lowercase e employee. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
Further, is any senator's desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 2? Senator from First, what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, I understand that there are some folks who actually feel pretty strongly that employee ought to be capitalized, and I personally agree with both research and the Senator from the 24th's take, but I also do not want to create issues in the bill that folks think are resolved by capitalizing the word employee in the two spots. I do think it's not how we do it in the Missouri Revised Statutes, but a lot of work has gone into this, and if people feel that this amendment would be helpful, then let's pass it. If people feel that this amendment would compromise the work that's been done, let's defeat it.
Yeah, I think the goal of capitalizing was to ensure, because of the reason why the reason why we are where we are is because of some ambiguity in what the definition of employee is. And so the goal is to make sure that when we are referencing the employee definition in the new section of the definition of employee, that there is no misunderstanding as to what that employee reference in those sections is referencing.
Well, Senator, I'll say this. I know a lot of work has gone into this on the floor and throughout the process. I'm not wild about the final result, but I think we've done as well as we can here. And so given the work that you have done, the Senator from Buchanan has done, and others, I am disinclined personally. I'll say it this way. I'd be curious in your thoughts on the amendment, and I'll be listening very carefully. Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion on Senate Amendment 2, Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, just to speak briefly against the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I certainly understand the reason why you would think that this is not necessary. We have, as the Senator from the First said, we have gone through I don't know how many iterations of compromise to get to the point that we are. I do think that because of, in this particular case, because of the reason why we are here, in that the definition of employee was called into question by the Eastern Court of Appeals, that it becomes necessary to make sure that we know exactly what definition and what reference of employee is being mentioned when it comes to employees of hospitals in this case. And so I am going to be voting no on this amendment, and I would encourage my colleagues to do as well. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on Senate Amendment 2. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator from the 24th, recognized close.
Mr. President, I'm just going to take a moment to talk about this briefly before we close. And I understand, as with all pieces of legislation, a lot of work goes into them to make sure that we get them right. We have staff and a history of the statutes in Missouri telling us that this is not how we write our statutes. This is not how we go about explaining what definitions apply to what sections. And it is not partisan staff that is talking to me about this. It is staff from legislative research that is saying, do this correctly, do this the way we write our statutes. Don't start using this as a tool that's going to end up down the road confusing all kinds of things because we don't understand why there's a capital E on a word in one place in statute and not on another. So I think that I understand the hard work that goes into getting legislation passed and or at least trying to get legislation passed. Let's not start rewriting how we write our statutes to fulfill somebody's idea of what may work out better in terms of interpretation. I think it's a big mistake, and again, I'm talking to the people at the research table who work on this day in and day out and have for years, much before I was here or the sponsor of the legislation was here. So, Mr. President, I ask that people support this amendment, not because it helps me in any way, but because it is the right thing to do for creating new legislation in Missouri with our statutes. And with that, I close.
Further discussion on Senate Amendment 2. Any senator desired to be heard? And you've considered it from 24 is closed. All in favor of the adoption of Senate Amendment 2, please signify saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. We're back on Senate Substitute for House Committee Substitute House Bill 452 as amended. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Boone, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The Senator from Boone renews his motion that House Bill, Senate Substitute for House Committee Substitute, House Bill 452 be adopted. All those in favor? What?
All those in favor say aye.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? To say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the substitute. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move the Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 452 be read a third time and finally passed.
The Senator from Boone has moved that Senate substitute House Committee substitute House Bill 452 be read a third time and finally passed. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Boone, you recognize close. Senator from Boone renews his motion. That's House Bill Senate substitute for House Committee substitute House Bill 452, read a third time and finally passed. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill number 452, an act relating to the liability of an employee of a health care provider. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sader, Schauf, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan,
Senator from the 8th, what reason do you rise? Senator from the 8th? Senator from the 8th votes aye. Senator from St. Francis votes aye. Senator from the 9th votes aye. Senator from the 7th votes no. By your vote of 27 aye, 5 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the tiling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from the 2nd.
Mr. President, would you inquire of the Secretary as to whether there are messages from the House, and if so, have them be read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the message.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Conference Committee Substitute Senate Bill 50. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill 240. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Conference Committee Substitute Senate Bill 64. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Conference Committee Substitute, House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 11. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Bill 248. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Conference Committee Substitute, House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 62. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House grants the Senate further conference on Conference Committee Report, House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 112 as amended. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 95 as amended, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Bill 395. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has reappointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on Senate Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bills 90 and 68 as amended. Representatives Rader, Engler, Morris, Quaid, Wessels. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has reappointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 112 as amended. Representatives Tate, Fraker, Bondon, Adams, McCreary. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 95. Representatives Fraker, Haar, Rhodes, Berenger, McCreary. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Madam Secretary, if there are conferees at the dais, please have them read.
Conference Committee Appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 112 as amended. Senators Schatz, Hageman, Hoskins, Curls, Holzman. Conference Committee Appointments on Senate Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bills 90 and 68 as amended. Schatz, Kraus, Sater, Walsh, Hummel. Conference Committee Appointments on Senate Bill Number 95. Senators Sater, Wasson, Hageman, Rizzo, Sifton.
Senator for the second.
Mr. President, may I inquire of the Senator from Boone?
Senator from Boone, yield.
I do.
Proceed.
Good evening, Senator.
Thank you, Senator. I got caught in a weird moment, and just for the edification of the body, the Senator from the second and I are going to have a conversation that the rest of the Senate doesn't really need to be present for. We're going to talk to try and accomplish a couple of technical things before we close our business, and so I've been told by the floor leader that if the Senate does not want to stay around, the rest of the senators do not want to stay around to listen to the senator from second and I talk about Cardinal baseball or something, that you are welcome to leave. So with that,
okay,
Senator, we can have a discussion really literally just about anything that you would ever want to talk about.
But there's no reason we can't go to the order of business of announcements, is there?
We're waiting on a couple of things before we adjourn.
Okay. Well, one thing I will say, since again we do have to stay around for a while, and I could cover this in announcements,
for a minute,
but when we adjourn, we will adjourn till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
So we're going to adjourn until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Right. So, Mr. President.
Senator for the second.
Mr. President, without objection, the next order of business is announcements.
Announcements. Announcements. Senator for the second.
Mr. President, I understand for technical reasons that the floor leader did not inform me of the Senator of Boone and I are going to be talking about baseball for a little while some other business is transacted. But I believe that that when I make the motion, it will be an adjournment motion until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So I would inquire of the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, yield.
I do.
Proceed.
Well, Senator, tell me what's going on that we're going to be discussing baseball.
I don't have any idea.
Okay.
All I know is that when I was walking in to get my things,
our fearless
to move
leader.
Up to the fourth floor office, I got caught in the middle of, hey, don't adjourn just quite yet.
So. You know, since we've been singing songs on the floor of this body, should we sing everyone a goodnight song or something?
I would prefer not to.
Me too. Do you know, when my children were younger, they each had their very own goodnight song that mom or dad would sing them, and I'm not going there at all.
I sing my kiddo Amazing Grace every night.
Amazing Grace, that's awesome.
Yeah, every night, and he knows it by heart, and it's hard for him to go to sleep at night without that. So, my wife.
Well, that is really neat because most of my kids' songs are really silly. They're variations of other songs that we just distort and put their name into them in some way. Amazing Grace is much better.
My wife has it started with just humming it when he was a baby, very, very small, just humming it for some reason. That's what I hummed. And then when my wife would hear that, she kind of wanted to have continuity there, and so she did it. And she has a very good voice.
You know, it occurred to me, no one wants to hear me sing, but people have actually paid money to hear you sing. So I think I would like to hear you sing Amazing Grace.
It's way too late for that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have
my voice is not in the best of shape even for talking at this
hour.
Yeah,
right. So. I'm exact same way.
Yeah, so, okay, I understand. I understand.
So tomorrow's...
We're not going to be here until they finish perfecting the journal, are we?
I have no idea.
I'm
hoping that our fearless leader walks through that door
and tells us
relatively quickly.
Tells us we can go
or
home.
Our fearless number two, maybe I should say.
Number two?
I'm going to assume that the president is the fearless leader in the truest sense of the word.
You saw the movie Austin Powers, right?
I did. I did.
You did. Yeah. It's hard to hear you saying number two without thinking of the Austin Powers movie. So good.
I would give you $20.
No! I'm not going to do that. Did you hear what the senator from the 23rd just said?
Offered a. I believe he offered.
I think it was a bribe.
Some sort of bribe note the absence of a quorum.
It was in our oath of office, in addition to upholding the Constitution of the United States and the state of Missouri, not to accept any monetary compensation for performance or non-performance of the duties. So I will not take the senator from the 23rd up.
You could note the absence of a quorum for free.
I could. I could do that for free.
I wouldn't recommend that.
But we would make some enemies for life.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. What's on the docket for your time after session?
I'm taking a little bit of time off, but I actually do have to work a little bit too. I'm actually going to, for a couple weeks, I'm going to stay on my Senate schedule of working a little bit on Monday and Friday and then taking Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off.
Nice.
But I think Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday will be spent doing a lot of sleeping and catching up on a lot of stuff at home and at the office. How about you?
My son is old enough now that he likes to go to the golf course with me. He can he can't drive. His feet don't reach the pedals of the golf cart, but he steers and steers pretty well.
Awesome.
He also is big enough to pull the flag out of the hole.
There
and so
you go.
You kind of have a little tiny little caddy, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, I don't want to work him too hard, right? But
how old is he now?
He's 4.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so he will be here tomorrow. My wife and he will both be here tomorrow for the last day. And so
a fun age. Well, Allison and I have always said that the terrible twos go from about age 2.5. Right at 2, they're still pretty delightful. But from about 2.5 to about 4.5, so.
He he's a great kid. We lucked out. I always tell everybody I'm scared to death to have another one because I don't think the good Lord is going to be this nice to us twice. So maybe he will be.
They're all different. Yeah, you did. That is true. You did get your good one first.
Yeah.
That didn't happen to us.
My parents tell. I have a sister who's 5 years older than me, and my parents tell me that if I had come first, that they wouldn't have had another one.
There we go. Yeah. No. Our first one was big trouble. Still is. And then again, the second and the third one have been big trouble too. So, anyway, that's those are the joys of parenting.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We had Willem in February of my first session in the house.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it was those next 3 months, you know, February 9th was his birthday. So February 9th through mid-May was crazy. My wife was obviously caring for a newborn. And, yeah, it was quite an ordeal.
Mr. President.
Senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate.
Sergeant Arms, would you relieve the majority leader of his position because he he came in unclothed to the Senate chamber? Senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will have the clerk prepare a remonstrance for tomorrow. Mm. Mr. President, no further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 9 a.m. tomorrow, May 12th, 2017.
The senator from the second moves that the Senate stand adjourned until May 12th, 9 a.m. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned.